Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And yes, I was out last week. You know, I was guest hosting a radio show on Saturday, broadcasting from Seattle, Manson Mitchell, and it was on KKNW, and you can listen to the archives if you like to. So I was live on Saturday, and I was spent. So I wasn't inspired to have a show last Sunday, but I am here today, and today is going to be really different. I cannot believe that I've never talked about this topic before, and the topic is shame. But before I get into that powerful, powerful subject, I want to share with the new listeners who the heck I am. Rebecca Norrington, who is she? For my new listeners, I am the world's only happiness specialist. What does that mean? That means that in every moment, my intention, my purpose, my destiny, my agenda is to feel. And when I say happy, let me define it for you, because that word happy, some people have a problem with that word happy. And what I want to share is my definition. My definition of being happy is to be able to be at peace, to be able to feel content, to be able to have a vibration of satisfaction, peace, relaxation. I'm okay. Everything is okay, regardless of what happens in this life, regardless what happens to me, and regardless of what doesn't happen to me. Whatever happens in my life, whatever doesn't happen in my life, I am at peace. That's my definition. And let me tell you something. It's not easy to practice. But for me, I think that's all there is. What else is there? I mean, looking in the world and seeing people that are get stressed, get angry, worried, you name it, sad. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what's happening to you as long as you're centered. You know who you are. You are rooted in, you are connected to and rooted in peace. You are peace. Quite frankly, you know, people, let me just start right off the bat. My second book is a program for unhappiness. I'm writing it now. And it really is a programming. It is a programming of being unhappy. Being unhappy because A, B, or C happened. And I'm here to tell you that nothing has to happen, or nothing has to happen. Nothing has to change in your life for you to change and shift your vibration. When I say your vibration, I mean this feeling of knowing, of trusting that everything that is happening for a good reason, whether you understand it or see it or acknowledge it or not. Everything happens for a good reason. Everything is happening to serve you. Everything is happening to support you, regardless of whether you feel like that is true or not. So you can call me and speak with me live if you want to ask a question. I'm always available for questions. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And, yes, I'm available for workshops. I'm available for retreats. I'm available for seminars. I am available to speak at whatever function you are hosting because, again, the only problem in this world, the only problem that I see are unhappy people. And when I say that, and when I say unhappy people, I'm talking about happy people don't wage wars. Happy people don't argue. Happy people don't. I started a new segment in the show, and it's called What's in the News, and I'm starting it right off the beginning of the show before we get into our topic, the power of shame. So what's in the news, and when I say what's in the news, I'm talking about the United States, what's trending, okay? And what is trending or what has happened the last couple of days? And listen, I follow this stuff too because I like being current, especially because it relates to being happy or feeling at peace or being content. It's all of this relates. Now, okay, here we go. Kanye West is in the news, and he's in the news because I believe he was, okay, hold on a second. Let me try to remember. Oh, he was on a television. He was on a gossip. He was on TMZ. He was on TMZ. And this is the sound bite. And he said, slavery, he said, 400 years. He said, being enslaved for 400 years. He says, slavery sounds like a choice to me. So his big statement was, that slavery is a choice because for 400 years, that's what it feels like to him. That's what it feels like to Kanye West. And I'm telling you, people are coming out of the woodwork and making their comments from radio personalities to Dr. Phil to anybody that has a platform. Not anybody, but a lot of people that have platforms have made comments about what Kanye West said, which was 400 years slavery was a choice or is a choice. Now, one of the things, and I love this, I love these things that are in the news. I love it because it's such a good teaching point. If you've heard the show and if you've listened, you know that I have said and taught that words are not powerful. Now, we were taught that words are powerful. Trust me, you know, when you're younger and you definitely, we have been programmed to think that words are powerful. But I ask you this, my dear audience. Who's more powerful, the people that can be offended with words, that can be have their feelings hurt based on words, or somebody that is not affected, not has their feelings hurt by words? Words are only as powerful as you allow them to be. And, yes, it's not your fault. You were programmed, you were taught that words are powerful. But I'm telling you, go to a youngster, when I say youngster, a toddler, a baby up to 2 years old, and you can spout all of the most horrible you can say the most horrible things to a child, to a baby in a year and a half, and they're going to look at you like you're saying, "Hi, little baby." Words, we were taught words are powerful, but in reality, they're not. They're only as powerful as you allow them to be. So everyone, not everybody, but a lot of people are up in arms. And a lot of people are saying that what Kanye West said was, I think Dr. Phil said something about it is going to cause hate, cause division, cause a problem. Well, you know what? It's only causing problems because people, number one, I don't care what anybody says. Everybody can have their own opinion. And everybody is coming from a different perspective. And everybody is coming from their own personal perspective. Now, I know that sounds, oh gosh, slavery is a choice. But let me tell you something. When you are open to different perspectives, and when you allow people and accept people to come up with what they feel. I mean, this guy, what he said, he believes it, just like the beliefs that you have. Now, because somebody believes something different than what you do, than what you believe, what's the problem? What's the harm? What's the crime? There is a sensitivity out there to hurt feelings and people being bothered by what somebody else says. I'm talking about just words right now, what somebody says. And I have to look at you, each one of you. You are responsible. It's time for people to take responsibility for how they're feeling and let these people go and let their beliefs go. It doesn't matter what Kanye West believes. Who cares? Now, the people that care and the people that speak out and talk then say that they don't agree or you know, they really talk bad about Kanye West, just because he doesn't believe what you believe? You see, the point is this. When you make a commitment to uplift, inspire, motivate, leave this world a better place than where you came, when you made that commitment, if you've made that commitment, you've got to let these people go and let these people say and express themselves any way they want. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get some letters or some emails about, well, what about people that talk about killing other people? Listen, let's start with small steps, because I have an answer to that too. But let's start with baby steps, and let's start by practicing and knowing that words are only as powerful as you allow them to be. That's number one. So, listen, Kanye, this is what I was going to say. There was a movie, it was called Life is Beautiful, and about a father who was in a concentration camp with his son. And I remember that for the whole movie, the father, he taught his son that life is beautiful wherever, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you are in a concentration camp or in a jail cell. It doesn't matter where you are. It is a state of mind, peace, happiness. Being content, feeling satisfied is a state of mind. It does not have to do with any external circumstances. I know we were taught that because I'm sitting in jail that I'm going to be miserable, or I'm in a prison, I'm going to be miserable. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. Meaning that there are people in this world that are born or lost their limbs or have big challenges, physical challenges, and you can find some people that have had these physical challenges, and they are happy. And they are grateful, and they look at life differently than all I'm saying is, people, it's a choice. You can choose to feel any way you want in any moment. You don't have to feel bad. You know what, I'm going off in a tangent, and I know I do that. I know I do that from time to time. But anyway, if you're still listening, the topic today is, geez Louise, the topic is shame. And I've never, ever talked about shame. You know, if you've listened to the show, I've shared with you there's tons of things that subtract from happiness. And some of those things are, you know, having expectations, judgments, labeling things, living in the past, living in the future, complaining, taking anything seriously, thinking anything is important. All of these things subtract from happiness. But one of the things that I, and also being in somebody else's business, focusing on someone else, because I'm telling you, these people that are concentrating on what Kanye West is saying, you can't concentrate on what somebody else is saying and not agree with it and put a judgment on it and be happy at the same time. I mean, so you're making a choice. You're making a choice to be concerned or focused on what someone else's opinion, someone else's beliefs. Anyway, this thing, shame, is this feeling, this energy, this vibration of shame. If you, and one of, this is my foundation now, David Hawkins, Hawkins, and his book Power Versus Force. Listen, I recommend all of his books, but this man is was a walking ball of wisdom and connected to the universe in ways that is just, it's just mind-boggling. So he actually has an energy level for each emotion. And the lowest emotion, the lowest energy level is shame. And he says that, and I can't even believe that I've never talked about it in regards to being happy or to, you know, feeling this internal peace, this internal contentment. I've never talked about shame, but it is something that I have had to look at and expose. And one of the things I want to say is whenever this, I like to say the things that are in the corner, you know, all the cobwebs in the corner, the dark stuff, the things that I wouldn't want to share with anybody, the things that I am quote unquote ashamed of, those kind of things are the very, that shame, the only way out of shame is to put light on it, is to put light on the shame. And I'm just going to read just a couple of things that David Hawkins wrote in his book, Power Versus Force. And again, it's the lowest energy level. The level of shame is perilously proximate to death, which may be chosen out of shame as conscious suicide, or more subtly elected by failure to take steps to prolong life, death by avoidable, blah, 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 blah. In shame, people hang their heads and slink away, wishing they were invisible. So early life experiences such as sexual abuse can lead to shame. Let me just, I want to share with you some of the things that I have been ashamed of. And it started with me, and it morphed into the same thing that my mother was ashamed of, and quite frankly, it graduated to my father. So the things that my parents were ashamed of as people, I inherited all of it. When I was 2 months old, I was adopted, and I've always known that I was adopted, but when I was in the second grade, I'll never forget it, and I believe I've told this story before, but I'm telling it again because it has to do with this lifelong, decades and decades of shame. And when I was in the second grade, I remember telling my teacher that, you know, I was proud. I'm adopted. Look at me, I'm adopted. And my second grade teacher, I don't remember her reaction, but I remember going home and telling my mother, like, it was the same as, Mom, I got an A. I told Miss, I even know her last name. I told Mrs. Glasgow that I was adopted. And my mother, instantly I could feel it. And she looked at me and she said, that is something that you never share with anyone, that's nobody else's business, that is private, that is a secret. I mean, all of those words and just the energy that she put out, it was so clear that I was supposed to feel ashamed that I was adopted, that for 3 decades, because I think I was in my 30s. Over 3 decades of feeling ashamed that I was adopted. Now, that goes to going to grammar school, going to high school, having friends and saying, well, you don't look like your mother, you don't look like your father, who do you look like? Listen, and I would come up with stories that, oh, I look like my grandparents, or I used to say I look like my grandparents. And, of course, they never met my grandparents because my grandparents lived in Chicago and I was in California. But I'm saying all this to say the shame was real. It was so deep. The other shame that I inherited, this was from my father, was the fact that he didn't get, I don't think he finished high school, or he finished high school with really low grades, never went to college. And my father was really ashamed of that because my father came from an area where education, if you were educated and if you went to college, I mean, you were put on a pedestal, especially from the South. And you were put on a pedestal and you were revered, college education. And of course, you know, we're talking about generation. So for you young people listening to the show, trust me, he was very, very ashamed of not having education, so much to the point where he forced me and my brother, when I say forced us to go to college, college wasn't my first choice. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to, you know, start my own real estate business. And my father, no, you're going to go to college. You're going to finish college. And it's so interesting how parents, I'm to say my parents, what they wanted for themselves, they made sure that I accomplished, or made sure that I finished, or made sure that I started. And I'll never forget it. You know, my father's even talked about people that he thought treated him differently because they knew he didn't have a college education. So not only is there shame about being adopted or shame about not having a college, listen, I had so many things that I was ashamed of, body shaming, meaning that ashamed of the way my body looked. Ashamed, you know what? I shared the story, but I've had a complex or ashamed of my forehead because my high school boyfriend told me, you don't have a forehead, you have a 5-head. Now, am I over it now? Because let me say this. I kept that I was ashamed of my forehead for longer than I was ashamed of being adopted. This body shaming and I'm just going to ask you, my dear audience, I'm going to ask you, what are you ashamed of? And the reason why this topic of shame came up, I was having a conversation with a millennial, and he was telling me that he was in this group of people that are exploring their sexuality. A month ago, I was looking at TV, and there was a woman in New York who's teaching women how to have an orgasm. I mean, when I say teaching, I mean they're all on the floor, they're on pillows, they're laying back, they're exposing themselves, and they're, you know, she's teaching them how to have a freaking orgasm. Now, I'm telling you right now, there is no way that I could even do that, because shame of the body or shame of exposing or, now listen, there's a big difference between being private and being ashamed. Okay, I'm not talking about being private. I'm talking about being ashamed of how I look, how my body looks. And all of that stuff comes from upbringing. It all comes from what I was exposed to. I mean, I couldn't go out of my room without, you know, put something on, right? That's all. Like, put something on, put a rope, put cover up, put something on. I mean, I'm talking about shame just to open up the conversation. If there is anything that holds someone back from finding peace, that shame has a big part. Shame plays a big part in that. So I want to ask each one of you that whatever you are ashamed of, know that is something that, number one, that you learned. And number two, know that shame cannot hide in the light. Shame can only grow and be more powerful in the dark. And that's why so many women, you know, the women coming forward with, you know, this whole Bill Cosby thing and women coming forward, and there was decades and years of people that didn't come forward. I mean, for any women that are out there with been raped or, you know, there's a big shame factor. And so it's understandable, but I'm here to tell you that the only way that I got over being ashamed of being adopted is to express it. I'm just speaking of myself. And I'll never forget, I was married at the time. I even told my husband at the time, I said, I have something to tell you. And I was so anxious and so stressed and so ashamed of telling this person that I married that I was adopted. And I remember when I told him, and he looked at me like, what? That's it? That's the big, you know, you need to talk to me, and you need to talk to me now, and it's big. I mean, it was that much shame. Not only did I have to tell him, then I had to tell his family. And then I had to tell my own son. And listen, my son was eight or nine when I told him. I'm just telling you that this, if you are living with any kind of shame, and if there, and you know what, listen, you can contact me. You can contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com if you want to express it to somebody, to someone who will listen without any judgment of anything. But I just want to share that putting light on anything, putting a spotlight on anything that you are ashamed of. And you don't need to, you know, get on the mountaintop and share it if that's not how you're feeling comfortable. But I'm telling you that living with shame is like living in bondage. And there is no freedom when you are ashamed of something. And I'm here to tell you, whatever it is, I'm talking about personal shame. I'm not talking about, you know what I mean. Whatever it is can be overcome. Whatever it is can be released. That's what I wanted to say. Because that power, when you keep shame in the dark, it continues to have power over you. Oh, let's see. Blah, 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 blah. I think, oh, so apartment. You know what else I was ashamed of? It's so funny. Not owning a home, living in an apartment, not owning property. You know, there's just so many things. Going to a junior college and not finishing a certain, not getting an A or a B. I'm telling you, this shame thing is deep. And all I want to say with this, and I'm going to wrap it up. All I want to say is if there's anything that is keeping you from being free. I know it doesn't feel comfortable. I know it can be a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety releasing it. But you can. If I can do it, you can do it, my dear audience. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. YouTube channel is a work in progress. I have a few YouTube videos up, and of course, I've been putting up new videos for the last 6 months, but haven't gotten to it yet. You know me. My second book, Program for Unhappiness, will be out sometime this year. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon and or Lulu.com. That's Lulu.com. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, and you're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Let go. Let go. Trust. Relax. Deep breaths, my dear audience. Deep breaths. Have a wonderful week. Talk to you again next week. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Getting real.
Yeah.